You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Mark Dankoff, a Lutheran pastor by profession and a political commentator. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Dave, good to be on.
Mark, we are speaking because of the upcoming Veterans Day weekend AFP Free Speech Conference in Austin, Texas. Mark Dankoff, a Lutheran pastor by profession, has won widespread international recognition in recent years for his no-nonsense political commentary, both written and broadcast, on many of the tough issues of the day. Armed with facts, a devotion to America and its culture and tradition, not to mention an impressive platform style, Mark once ran for the U.S. Senate on the ticket of the Constitution Party. And of course, that was in the year 2000 in Delaware. And Mark, you also have your own radio program called Mark Dankoff's America, and that's on the Ugly Truth Network. Is that correct?
That is correct.
For the benefit of the listeners, just give them a little bit of background about who you are. I mean, you could start from the very beginning, where you were born and so on and so forth.
Well, my father was a United States Air Force colonel. I was born in an Air Force hospital in Wiesbaden, Germany in 1955. Like most kids, I grew up in the Air Force in those days during the Cold War. I've done a lot of traveling both in the United States and around the world. My family was involved at a number of domestic stations as well as stations abroad. We were stationed in Europe at one point, a couple of different tours in the Middle East and Central Asia, one or two tours in Southeast Asia. So it was my good fortune to get around a little bit when I was growing up somebody else paying for it. And I then, of course, kind of osmosed into so-called conservative politics. As a young person, I was concerned about the direction the United States was going in as I was growing up. So predictably, I was one of the young Turks that became involved in the early Reagan candidacies in the Republican Party, 1976 and thereafter. I was one of the deluded conservatives, however, because I did not really understand what was happening in this country when I first got involved in conservative politics. I did not understand what many of us understand now about who was really involved in promoting the Reagan wing of the Republican Party and a lot of the things that we thought we were fighting for, only to wake up one morning and to discover that the country was no better off than it had been before. This led me into a search from about 1988 onward as I began to discover more and more of the truth about who and what was really behind this country's problems. That accelerated in the 1990s when I was involved with Pat Buchanan's presidential campaigns in the Republican Party down here in Texas, later became involved in Howard Phillips' Constitution Party. But it was really at the time of 9/11 and thereafter when I really began to take flight, so to speak, and catching up with where many people already were in regard to what was happening in this country and who was behind it and why. People like Mark Glenn and Michael Collins Piper, Hisham Talawi, E. Michael Jones, Dr. Robert Sungenis, folks of that ilk really brought me up to some degree of speed on all of the things that I had missed as a younger person that really got into the whole issue of root causes. Who was really behind what had happened to the United States, who our real enemy was, and what we needed to be doing to inform more and more good people who are presently as deluded as I was as a younger person in regard to what all has been going on in the United States, and for that matter globally, who's behind it, and what kind of methodologies we use to effectively target the opposition and to expose them.
Would it be possible to identify the enemy of America easily?
Well, I think it's more easily done than we might imagine. The fact of the matter is there is a fifth column that has been operating in the United States for a very long period of time. These are the same people that gave us the Bolshevik Revolution in the former Soviet Union. These are the same people who are behind the creation of the Institute for Social Research, the so-called Frankfurt School or Frankfurt School in the Weimar Republic in Germany. These are the same folks that have been behind so many of the events that have had the United States in my lifetime languishing with the development of a domestic police state and this ongoing cycle of debt and war that we have not been able to extricate ourselves from. This fifth column is the Israeli lobby. This fifth column, frankly, is the Jewish lobby. Some people say that one is a so-called anti-Semite to speak that way. I will go ahead and speak that way anyway. There is a Jewish lobby in this country, and it doesn't matter whether you're looking at the overextension of our military empire abroad, who is behind this cycle of debt that we have with these international bankers, who was behind the creation and the ongoing running of the Federal Reserve Board in this country, getting monetary policy away from the United States Congress, who has been behind this this Frankfurt School of their so-called Institute of Social Research, who's been behind the importation of that kind of moral pollution in our own culture, the answer always seems to be the same. And to me, a basic internet search will reveal to people that in all of these different areas of life, the globalism, the debt, the war, the moral pollution, the infiltration of our educational system, the buying of our politicians, the control of our news media, there is a disproportionate Jewish element that always seems to crop up in all of these different facets of life. It's provable. People that really get into this either have to acknowledge that it's true, or they have to stop exposing themselves to the information, or they have to acknowledge that it's true but fail to talk about it publicly. That's another angle on this that you often run into. Folks who will listen to one of your broadcasts, folks who will read one of your articles. I know you go through this too, Dave, where somebody undoubtedly from week to week even will say to you, hey, I read that article. I listened to that broadcast. You know, I'm really with you. I agree with this stuff, but I can't become more directly involved. I can't speak out myself because I'll lose my job. I'll become marginalized economically. I'll lose family members and friends over this. I'll be ostracized in my community because of what's happened in the United States. So, you know, I'm with you. I read this stuff. I'm listening to it now. I see that it's well documented, that it's factual, but I'll leave it to you guys to be on the front lines. I run into a lot of that. It's very frustrating. Frustrating because numerically, if all of the people who learn about what we're doing and come to the conclusion that we're largely right in the analysis that we give were to become involved, to become engaged, to become involved in truly taking the country back, not in an ersatz to that term, as was the case with me as a young person when I was trying to get Reagan elected as president of the United States, but in the deeper sense, we could start experiencing some real renaissance and reformation in the United States. We could start taking this country back, but until we identify the enemy, until we step out and start speaking about who the enemy is and how he operates, and flushing him out, we're going to continue to be aired in all of the false dialectics and false issues and diversionary issues of the day that really have poisoned so many people's ability to clearly think through and to understand what's going on. And the classic version of this is this phony false dialectic that we get every 2 years and every 4 years between so-called conservatives and liberals, between so-called Republicans and Democrats, where at the end of the day, it seems that regardless of who prevails at any given point in time, the end game is always the same. As I was saying to my Republican mother the other night, who's still working and driving a car at 92, watches Fox News, very faithful person, everyone who knows her loves her, and yet she looks at this present political scene and basically sees Barack Obama is the boogeyman in this whole situation, not understanding that it is forces behind Barack Obama who are the ultimate boogeyman. And these are the same forces that control all of the establishment neoconservative figures in the Republican Party. And until we understand this, we're going to continue losing on immigration, on culture, on economy, on debt, on the Fed, on the income tax, on the development of a domestic police state, and on this whole issue of the overextension of our military empire. Till people focus upon the real issues and the real culprits, they're going to continue deceiving a majority of us through Fox News, through CNN, and through all the establishment magazines, either right or left, that all avoid delving into the real issue. And to the credit of the American Free Press and people like Dave Gaharry and Michael Collins Piper, you folks have been identifying the real culprit for a long time, which is why you've been demonized the way that you have. It's why I've been demonized the way in which I have been in recent years by the ADL and others, because we're stepping forth to say, hey, folks, take a close look at this. This is really the issue. These are really the bad guys. And we've got to start talking about real solutions, or we're never going to even get to first base in this.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mark, and you reminded me of a couple of things when you're talking about your mom. You said she was 92?
That is correct. Wow. Still helping to run an art studio downtown here in San Antonio. She's still driving a car, still goes to Pilates exercise class and does all of those types of things. And she's a very intelligent person, as you might imagine. And yet, as a part of that Depression era, World War II era generation, she's been one of the victims of the brand of brainwashing that all of us have been subjected to, both that generation and the one or two or three that have followed since. And I think it's important for people to understand that the American Free Press and what you're doing, what Piper's doing with the American Free Press and with his publishing career for many years, what I've been trying to do, Mark Lynn at The Ugly Truth, we've been trying to recover not just the country, but the old right, the old American right. The old American right understood the real issues in a way the American right has not, especially since the time of World War II onward, when the American right, and I understand this so clearly now after being one of its own victims, I was co-opted for many years by the establishment wing of the Republican Party, not really grasping that the folks who were behind camps like Ronald Reagan and Jack Kemp, the folks who co-opted Bill Buckley in National Review, the folks who co-opted Human Events, which was once a very fine populist newspaper, that these are the folks who gave us the Frankfurt School and its Institute for Social Research. These are the same folks who gave us the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all the rest of it, and that the well-meaning troops at the grassroots level of the Republican right now don't recognize in any significant sense of the word the extent to which they've been co-opted. The best of them are the Ron Paul people, of course, but even there, I find it noteworthy that Congressman Paul, whom at one level I deeply admire, has stayed away from really identifying the culprits of the many problems that he correctly identifies. He stayed away from much of that during the presidential campaign. You look at Rand Paul, and while he seems to be the best of the lot in terms of what's currently in the U.S. Senate, he's nonetheless made his obligatory trip to Israel. He's nonetheless said a number of obligatory things about the Israeli government and about our so-called special relationship with Israel that are deeply disturbing, that we should keep an eye on as American populists in regard to whether or not we should be supporting him in 2016. This is just how deeply the system has been bought and paid for, when even the people that we think are the solution are either offering a partial solution or might even be, in some sense of the word, deliberately or at least subconsciously co-opted.
That fella, Rand Paul, he slapped one of those yarmulks on when he was out there, I guess, earlier in the year. There's a picture of him by that wailing wall, I think they call it. They stick little pieces of paper in the crevices, but there's a picture of him with a, well, it's pronounced, I guess, yarmulke, but it's spelled like yarmulk. And he's got this white yarmulk on, and he's holding his hand to the wall and closing his eyes. So yeah, he came out strong against the special relationship, which obviously it's only special to these criminal politicians who are pocketing all this money. You were interviewed by Press TV. I know that's an Iranian broadcast channel, but are they an official broadcast channel or are they an independent broadcast channel?
They are, as I understand it, the state-owned network of that country, and I became involved with it. Of course, I lived in Iran years ago when my parents were stationed over there just in a series of summers. I was in college back in the Chicago area, but years later, I became involved with Press Television through a guy by the name of Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote. He's a fascinating guy. He's a professor of accounting at Cal State Fullerton University. He has a background working in Iran during the days when the United States was directly involved there, officially directly involved there in the Pahlavi years. He is a Ron Paul Republican and is a very principled critic of the Israeli lobby and of the Zionist ideology. He was on my show with the old Republic Broadcasting Network when I was there, and we were talking about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or the MEK, this terrorist organization that killed Americans in Pahlavi, Iran in the 1970s, by the way. This organization, officially led by our State Department, is no longer a terrorist organization, thanks to the machinations of the Israeli lobby in the United States, which at the time that the MEK was still listed officially as a terrorist organization by the United States government, the MEK was paying thousands of dollars to establishment figures in the American political and national security establishment scene to promote the notion that the MEK should be legitimized. They have now been officially legitimized because they're working undercover with Israel against the present regime in Iran. But be that as it may, Dr. Foote is an expert about the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK. He was on my show on the Republic Broadcasting Network years ago talking about this. I had an interest in it because the MEK had attempted to kill my father in Iran back in the 1970s. He was an American civilian military advisor over there at the time working with the Shah's Air Force. Very long story, but the long and the short of it is that Dr. Foote Lightfoot would later submit my name and Mark Glenn's name, among others, to the press television people in Iran as basically American populist conservative types who were anti-Zionist, who were anti-war for Zionist interests, and that we would be effective people to be on their network from time to time when there was a coalescent viewpoint. And so that's how that really began. So when you're watching Mark Glenn on there, or you're watching Mark Dankoff on there, or you're watching Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars on there, and one or two other people, Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton was the person who really made all of that happen. So that's why I've been on press television in the last couple of years, really on television talking about all of the same types of things used to, well, still do talk about on my radio show, and that I was writing about from time to time on the internet. So it's kind of brought what I've been doing in recent years to a new level, so to speak. It's given me a greatly expanded, enlarged audience at the same time that that expansion of audience has resulted in more trouble for me from the Anti-Defamation League and from their domestic agents in the United States. That's what's been for Mark Glenn and Hesham Talawi and Michael Collins Piper as well. I was not as targeted by the ADL before because I wasn't as well known. But now that I've been on press TV for a couple of years, they've kind of ratcheted things up against me also because they began to be concerned about whatever degree of effectiveness I was having on that network.
Well, I'm glad you're there, Mark. That's great. And that's great news that that fella did recommend you guys, because now we can have the voices of two very educated people providing listeners and viewers with the other side, which really should be completely welcome in the United States. But somehow they've gotten it to the point, I really believe it is the mainstream media, where you cannot criticize them.
I think to be pro-Zionist and pro-Israel is a contradiction. It's an inherent contradiction with being on the correct side of all of the other issues that we identify.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've come to the conclusion that being pro-Israel or pro-Jewish, because it's so tough to take away the Jews from the Zionists, it's just very difficult. I've come to that conclusion that being either of those or both of those can only mean anti-American, because they really are hurting us. And that was the interview that you did with Press TV just relatively recently, where you were interviewed. It says here, Press TV has conducted an interview with Mark Dankoff about the FBI, which now operates outside America and has expanded to double its personnel since 01 as it invests in spying and intelligence programs. Of course, the headline of this interview was Israel Drive Behind Development of American Police State. As a matter of fact, I just wrote about this in American Free Press. It seems like the U.S. police departments, many of them are treating its citizens like Palestinians, like the Israelis treat the Palestinians. And I was wondering why that was. Of course, it all ties into this. And this is something that I'd like to get into great detail with you and another interview, if that would be okay.
Hey, that would be great. This is terrifying. And if the average American knew the extent to which Israeli-related entities are responsible for keeping us under surveillance in this country, they would have an entirely new slant on just how demonic it is for people who are alleged patriots, people who allegedly love America, to be supporting this.
Incredible, the numbers of Israeli companies that are involved here. What are you going to talk about out in Austin?
Well, a couple of things. I might give a sneak preview of some remarks that I'm scheduled to make at a future juncture at an international conference in Tehran. This deals with all of the things, well, not all of them certainly, but the significant things that were actually going on between October of 1940 and December of 1941 with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and some of the Jewish elements in his administration, including Harry Dexter White, who were promoting an American provocation of war with Japan as a means of ensuring that the United States came into World War II on the same side as Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union, by the way, and with all of the things that we have not understood until recently because of certain things that have now been declassified, certain things that have now been published, the sources that we now understand about the extent to which Roosevelt undermined all kinds of things that would have led to a peaceful settlement with Japan, the fact that World War II in Pearl Harbor need not have happened for the United States, that some of the principles of what Roosevelt was up to at that time apply to what is now going on in our relationship with Iran, as the same forces that were angling to get us into World War II and to get us into World War II on the side of Stalin are the same people who now want this American-sponsored or American direct involvement with a preemptive war with Iran that need not be the case. So I'll probably talk a little bit about that just in passing to give a sneak preview of what's going to be more definitively developed at this international conference later in the year. But I'll also be talking about 2016. Where does the American populist movement go in regard to any electoral possibilities to support that can actually achieve something in this next election cycle? And in that regard, Merlin Miller of Americana Pictures, who of course will be at this conference in some way, shape, or form, he and I have been talking about making potentially a third party run in this thing in 2016 in a way that's never quite been approached before, in giving people an alternative to what's going on with the Republican and Democratic parties that might actually, for the first time in my time, create the beginning of an overt presence on the part of the populist right in American presidential politics that can make a difference for the first time short term and a difference in the long term. I'm going to be exploring a little bit of that in Austin. Merlin Miller may well be a part of that process also. And interestingly enough, it gets back to a core question that you and I discussed off the air, Dave, and that is this: will any of this make a difference, or is it too late? That to me is the core philosophical question of the day. I don't know that I have the answer to that, but that is the question. And it'll be interesting to see what all of the different activists in Austin have to say in regard to where we are at this point. Is anything that we're doing continuing to make a difference? Can we, in fact, take this country back, or is it too late? That to me is a theme and an idea that not only my presentation, but a number of those presumably in Austin will make next month. But it'll be hopefully in these conversations in Austin a way of stimulating people's thinking in regard to this core question. Are we still making a difference? Can we make a difference? Future tense. Or are we in such a nefarious state of affairs that those of us who feel the way that we do need look toward some survival type of existence abroad, because the Zionist entity about to shut us down completely between now and 2016? That's the question. I don't suggest that I necessarily have the answer.
Thank you, Mark, for taking the time out, and looking forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Well, thank you, Dave, and thanks to the American Free Press for officially inviting me to Austin in a month. They've always been very good to me, and I profit greatly by continuing to read the American Free Press, and it's been a good relationship, and I pray that that continues. Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
See you in Austin.